Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Glory to God forever. Now, this week in the church, we celebrate a feast day called the Entrance of the Virgin Mary, the entrance of the Most Holy Theotokos into the temple. And the story behind this feast day, it's a feast day that's really obscure, certainly in Christianity in general, and even within the Orthodox Church sometimes, not everyone has a grasp of this feast, partly because it's not in the Bible, it comes from other historical sources, and it behooves us to really let this feast day and its event and its meaning sink into our hearts. And it comes to us from historical sources and the hymnography and iconography and the tradition of the church. Mary's parents, Joachim and Anna, were very old and were unable to have children. And Joachim once brought his offering to the temple, and it was rejected because to not have children in ancient Israel was seen as a curse. It was seen as God's judgment on us. And so Joachim went out and wept when Anna found out about it. She wept. And so they both prayed and prayed and prayed as they always had been. They were righteous before God. And Angel Gabriel comes, Archangel Gabriel comes, both to Joachim and to Anna, with this amazing news. Archangel Gabriel says, you, even in your old age, will have a child. And not any child, but you will have a daughter, and she will be the mother of the Messiah, the mother of the Son of God, the mother of God himself incarnate, is going to come to the world through your daughter. And Joachim and Anna both are amazed. They're filled with joy. They're filled with wonder, maybe a little confusion. And yet they believe the word of Archangel Gabriel, of God speaking through his angel. And sure enough, Anna conceives in her womb, and eventually this daughter, Mary, is born. Now, Joachim and Anna were very old. They were advanced in years, and not only that, but they were very righteous people, and knowing all of this, and knowing this amazing, miraculous, wonderful, sign-filled conception and birth, they decide to dedicate this daughter Mary, to the service of the temple when she turns 3 years old. It wasn't common to do that, but it wasn't unheard of. There were other children raised in the temple on occasion. Samuel was raised in the temple in the Old Testament. So it's not unheard of for this to happen, especially with parents, either if they pass away or in the case of Joachim and Anna, were very old. So today's feast is when Mary turns 3, they, probably with a lot of heartbreak but a lot of joy, bring her to the temple to fulfill their promise, just as God had fulfilled his promise to them, to fulfill their promise to God, and Mary is ushered into the temple. And in the icon, there are other young girls, other maidens there that are bearing candles. These will be Mary's new roommates, as it were, her friends. But then Mary does something quite remarkable. She climbs the steps to the temple and not only enters the temple, but enters into the most sacred place, the Holy of Holies, as an image of who she is and what she will do, what she will become when the time is right. And that's really what we are celebrating today, is Mary being brought to the temple by her parents, Joachim and Anna. And it's a beautiful concept, it's a beautiful moment, it's a beautiful event, but it might make us wonder, does this really rise to the level of one of the 12 great feasts of the church? Is there more to the story than just they are dedicating Mary to the temple? And to understand the real depth of that meaning, to understand even more of what's going on, we have to turn back to the Old Testament and think about the temple as the dwelling place of God. In the Old Testament, the temple is where God was said to live, where God was experienced, where the people of Israel, the people, the believers, could actually go encounter God. And so within the temple, there was the area of worship, but in the middle of the temple, there was a place called the Holy of Holies, which was separated from the rest of the temple by a curtain. And only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies. It was so sacred, so powerful, powerful to the point of being risky, that only the high priest could go, and only once a year, and only if he brings the blood of a sacrifice of a pure lamb, could go into the Holy of Holies and offer prayers on behalf of the people. Now, inside the Holy of Holies, there's an altar, and on the altar, there's a golden box called the Ark of the Covenant. Maybe you've heard of that, the Ark of the Covenant. Inside, the Ark meaning container. It's a container, and inside the Ark of the Covenant was a jar with the manna, the bread that fell from heaven while Israel traveled through the wilderness, with the very bread that God sent. Also in the Ark of the Covenant were the tablets of the law, the very word of God written and given to Moses when he was on the mountain those 40 days. So inside the Ark is the bread of God and the word of God from the Old Testament. So the focus of the temple is the Holy of Holies. The focus of the Holy of Holies is the Ark of the Covenant. The focus of the Ark of the Covenant is the word and bread of God, meaning his very presence in the life of the believers. Now, it came to pass that a man named Nebuchadnezzar, a king, an evil king of Babylon, came and destroyed the city of Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, took the Ark of the Covenant, and captured nearly all of the people of Israel and took them to Babylon into slavery. The Ark of the Covenant was lost, maybe destroyed, maybe melted down. We don't know what happened specifically to it. Maybe it was just preserved among Nebuchadnezzar's many treasures. And the nation of Israel lived in captivity in Babylon for 40 years. And then a new king comes named Cyrus the Great. And he is more benevolent than Nebuchadnezzar. And he lets Israel go back to Jerusalem. So under the prophet Ezra, Israel returns to Jerusalem. And the first thing they do when they get there, they're still living in their tents, the first thing they do when they get there is start to rebuild the temple, their worship place, their most sacred place. And they build the temple, and they build a Holy of Holies, and inside that they build an altar, but they don't have the manna. They don't have the bread of God anymore. It was lost. They don't have the tablets of the law. They don't have the word of God anymore. So because there's no bread of God and no word of God, they don't build an Ark of the Covenant. What would be the point of having this ark, this container, if you don't have the things of God to put in the container? Now, a Jew of those days would have seen that as a great tragedy, but something they would just have to learn to live with. But we, in our perspective, having seen Christ, can see God's hand in that. God's hand. I mean, they built the temple exactly to specifications from the book of Exodus, except the ark and except the manna, because they didn't have those things. So that brings us back to Joachim and Anna bringing Mary to the temple when she's 3 years old. She goes up the stairs and enters the Holy of Holies, because God in the Old Testament came through his word and through bread in a physical way, but he's going to come to Israel and come to the world now in a living way, in a tangible way. His very self, God himself, in the person of the Son, will become incarnate and live as a man, live as a person, Jesus Christ, in the world. And in preparation of Christ's coming, the Holy of Holies has a new ark. Just like the manna and the tablets of the law were in a golden ark, when the living Son of God comes, he needs a living ark. And so Mary becomes the living ark, the living container, not made of gold, but made of God's greatest creation, humanity. And Mary becomes the ark, living ark, that's going to hold the living Son of God. And you can see how bread of God and word of God prefigures Christ to come, because Christ is our bread, and Christ is our word. But Christ is the fulfillment of that. He's the beginning and the perfection of it. And so Christ, being the living word of God, comes and dwells in Mary, the living ark. So this feast day is not only Mary going to live in the temple, which would be good and wonderful and beautiful and nice, but so much more than that, it is her becoming this container, this ark, this temple in whom God will dwell. And some of the hymns we're gonna chant as Matins continues, you'll hear that theme replayed over and over. Mary has entered the temple to become the temple. Mary has entered the temple to become the ark. Mary has entered the temple to become the dwelling place, the container, the throne, all these things that can hold God himself, God incarnate in the person of Jesus Christ. And then one last practical application for us. We've just entered Advent, the Advent season. And then the church immediately gives us this feast day at the beginning of Advent. This is not an accident. Christ is coming. We're going to celebrate his nativity December 25th. We are going to embrace and welcome and worship God having come among us for the salvation of humanity, for our brokenness, for our sinfulness. All these things he's going to take on himself and heal and restore us to who we are created to be. And so the church gives us this feast day of Mary preparing to be the temple, the ark in whom God will dwell, at the beginning of Advent, to remind us that we too need to become an ark. We too need to become a temple. We too need to prepare ourselves to receive God incarnate, to receive the Son of God when he comes in his glorious nativity. The time is now. The time is now to begin your spiritual preparations. You know, the world's going to try to get us distracted with all these material things. The church is saying, open your heart, open your soul, open your mind to what is really going on. Be prepared to let Christ in, to let God in, that he might heal you, and that through you might work to heal and change the world around you, humanity around you. Amen.